Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. There are no rules here. We are trying to accomplish something. There's no rules. None of that mumble jumble. We are busy trying to accomplish something. And let me say this. If you are silenced about your pain, they will kill you and say you enjoyed every bit of it. That's right. Let me repeat that. If you are silent about your pain, they will kill you and say you enjoyed every bit of it. Unbelievable. And we have to learn that we cannot leave those who created the problem in charge of the solution. And when we talk about our legal system, I look at it like bleach. It works perfect for the white folks, but destroys the colors. It destroys us. So we're living in a time that they got us so divided up, they used the method of divide and conquer. And it worked. It worked like a charm. You see, they fell into that trap because I didn't fall into it. You know, we are at war. And there's never going to be a change without a conflict. It's going to be casualties. You might even be one of the casualties, but you're doing it for the future of your children. It's all about that. Everything is about the future. I think that's where we messed up. We can't walk around here with an oppressive mentality. And when your ego becomes more important than the cause. Oppressive mentality is when your ego gets so big you want everything to be about you and become more important than the cause, than the future of our children. Then we have a problem. We have a major problem. And we have to learn to stand up and fight back. You know, I read that book by Sam Greenlee, The Spook Who Sat by the Door. And that helped. Made me who I am today because I know that we can win if we fight. We're at war. See, sometimes what you have to do, you have to come together. When that sellout come to your barbershop, you have to turn him away. So I'm not cutting your hair. I'm not doing it. When that sellout come to that grocery store to buy something that you own, we don't own many, so that really won't help. You have to say, I'm not selling you anything. You have to say these things. We have to put this guy or those that man or woman, don't make a difference which one, we have to show them that they're not who they think they are. They always going to have a few that's going to support them because that's who they want to be. There's nothing worse in this world of all the hell that black folks have went through to have someone in your community a sellout. We don't. It's unfortunate. I remember the time when Minister Farragut called out Reverend Jesse Jackson. This time that he called out Marcus Muhammad. I mean, he called him out right on stage. Now is your time to call this slam ball out. You see, because they really got us surrounded. We have to circle the wagons. We got to make sure we're doing the things that we need to do to make things happen. I'm shocked at some of the stuff that we do. I am. They're not giving you any extra dollars. I'm shocked. I'm shocked at what we try to do to please them. if they're not doing what they're supposed to do for your community, you don't need them, because they will set you up next. But let me say this to my black brothers and sisters. For a white person to kill a black person and receive 16 months in prison is an insult. You should be rioting right now up in Minnesota. You should be jumping up and down saying we're not going to take that. We should be running this judge out of this community, out of that community. We should not be taking that lightly. That's what they do. Dante Wright, his life was only worth 16 months. 16 months, that's what his life was worth. And the judge had the nerve to be crying because she didn't want to give her 16 months. Ha! What kind of world do we live in? And I was listening to the mother and the sister. I'm just going to read a little bit what she said. Dante Wright, Diamond Wright, said, who also took the stand to share memories with her brother, said Dante did a great job of being there for her. How come I have to go see my brother in a metal container just to talk to him? She asked through the tears. I never thought that my brother would be killed by the same people we're supposed to feel protected by, she said. I know the charge is manslaughter, which should have been murder. I believe that. There's no reason she murdered that young man. Hollering, taser, taser. Like Diamond said, she once had a conversation with Dante and her mother, who is white, about their skin color. Determined that it just maybe we had enough whiteness to not be seen as a threat to police. We had enough black to police, according to her. And Kim Potter took my son's best friend away from him. And things haven't been the same since, she said. And she said, now, this is the mom talk, I am now a single mother, not by choice, but by force. My son haven't seen his dad in almost a year, and I know he doesn't understand what's going on, but he sensed his dad been gone. Whitaker said that she often find their son, who is now too, staring at a poster of Dante that she hung in his bedroom. Police are supposed to protect and serve community. How will my son learn to trust the police after what happened to his dad? She asked. I don't want my son to grow up afraid of police or hating them. Nevertheless, it's only fair that Kim Potter be sentenced to the maximum amount of time for executing my son, Dante Jr., father. You see, one thing that we have to learn, if we don't pressure them, come out, you know, don't just have an Al Sharpton and a Crump come out to pick up the check. They need to be there in a time like this. We can no longer sit back and allow these people to dictate to us. And that's what they do, you see. Even this water crisis here in the city of Benton Harbor, this thing would have been going on for another 5 or maybe forever. Because who really cares about black folks? Who cares about black people? Black people don't even care about black people. So how do you expect anybody else to care about black people? Black people don't care. And I understand that, you know, it takes 24 hours just to feed our families. It takes 24 hours. And we're working every day just to do that. But I tell you this. If we don't get this thing together, they're going to wipe us all out. Slowly but surely. They use the prison system. Who would believe? Who would believe in this time of day that the court system is anything like it is today? Who would believe it? If I sit here and told you that, you would say, no way, Reverend Pinckney is not telling the truth. You have to say that, because nobody would believe, and they got the nerve to believe that what they're doing is right. They got the nerve to believe, and maybe they do believe what they're saying is right. You know, this is what was right for them to do to us. We have to change the way we do business. We're 50 million strong. They say it's less, but it's at least 50 million black folks here. We have to change the way we do business. Until we do so, things are going to continue just like it is. The white man makes all the decisions. He practically decides whether you live or die. He can go to war tomorrow and have Russia to target the black community or China or any other people who have a nuclear bomb. Have to change. And until we change, things are going to continue just like it is. But I got to bring in my good friend from Benton Harbor, the one and only. Yeah, it's not two Benton Harbors nowhere in the world. Trust me. There's not two Benton Harbors in this world. And what you're going to find is that we have to make sure we're doing all the things that we need to do, you know. Stop the madness, you know. We're better than this. We're better than this, but we have to prove it. So far, it don't appear to be. But let me bring in my good friend, the one and only Dr. Donald Times. He's more than just a doctor. He's more than just a doctor. He's a community hero. And we love him here, and we want everybody to know that there's none like him. We wish we had more doctors like him. Dr. Dan, talk to me.
You know, after listening to you, if you would allow me, I want to tell you a thing I wrote a long time ago in a book that I wrote called For the Black Men and Women of Tomorrow. It's called The African Way of Thought, and it goes like this. The sky was black and beautiful. The stars shining could not take away from the beautiful blackness of the night. I woke up today feeling wonderfully black. Success and good fortune abound. Think of the beautiful black faces of the African queens whose ebony features stand out brilliantly like a black onyx stone. These dark and lovely princesses grace Africa. From northern Egypt to Azania, which is South Africa, from West Africa to Sudan, from California to Detroit, from Detroit to New York, from New York to Benton Harbor, from Benton Harbor to Chicago, from Chicago to Philadelphia, these beautiful black sisters stand true. What of her pharaoh? Oh, the nation builder. He is a victim of a never-ending war. He is suppressed so others can rule. Outsiders will try to use his woman against him, but they are fools, for the black jadedness of the universe runs deep through her soul. He cannot rebuild his nation because he's on the run, dodging integration and degradation and drug and homosexual annihilation through assimilation. Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful black day. Because the flowers smell sweet and the birds sing songs of high praise. The African woman, Kente, Queen Mother, will come to the aid of her ebony nation that's under siege. She will heal the warrior spirit and return the intellectual nobility that has been robbed from her land. The African woman, the African-American black woman, are the sleeping giants. Waiting their time until the time is right for her nation to return to the throne seat of the world and again rule. This is the African way of thought. And you made me bring that poem out of my closet by the way you were thinking that we have to change the way that we're thinking. And I have to start from where you left off. George Bentley, S-T, Inney. There's a boy, I guess his name is Royal, who they're going to charge as an adult. The justice system in America does not know justice. The American system did not even know that George Floyd was murdered. It took international pressure and recognition to make America aware that George Floyd was murdered. Now, George Denton was 14 years old, was innocent, and was electrocuted on August 2nd of 1929. The justice system is a murderous system that has not yet been corrected, even though the United Nations has condemned it. Different international bodies have condemned this. So there's nowhere in the world where United States can go and say they are a just system in America, especially toward the African American. So, but what we have to look at is that there's the allegation that a lone black judge by herself, there's not that many black judges, that a black female judge allowed this to happen. And I know there's a problem down in Wayne County community because they're looking at the problem but not at the cause. They're looking at the problem and not the cause. So what happens is that when you try to go after these young kids, you have to look at, as adults and as a community and as a city, where were you negligent? Where were you at fault? How did this happen under your watch? Because you are the ones who created the children. It's you are the ones who have these children in this situation. Because a minor is a minor. And what we have to look at, the justice system has not shown itself, I'll be intellectual. The justice system has not shown itself not to be biased. Neither is the law enforcement shown itself to be not biased. But to stand by and to allow black children to be mistreated is the same mentality that allowed that innocent George Stanley to be electrocuted. Wrong is wrong. And we don't look at now. Growing up without a family, have we looked at a situation like that? The loss of a close one who's close to us, a loved one, the fact that there's no money to live off of, to there's no job, and then what are we doing for our children? That we have youth, young men like homeless who are going from couch to couch, and we have to be adults, not ignorant, in during this time of weather to make sure that we allow at least them to sleep on the floor, to sleep on the couch, until they have to go to school to do something, that we are guilty. We cannot even stand before Christ. We cannot even stand before God and go to church as hypocrites when our children are out here being executed in front of our eyes. That's like you in the crowd allowing Christ to be crucified.
I know what you're saying. Well, let me ask you this question. What do you see with black leadership and black history and the black community?
Now, black, when we talk about this, we have Reverend Emory Vary, who was the standard. Reverend Emory Vary, standard Ben Harbor. And every February, he preached the black in the Bible. Now, any pastor right now in the month of February who has not been teaching black history is a traitor to his race, works for Satan, because God made man out of the black dirt of the earth in Genesis chapter 128 all the way to 213, and that you are ashamed of that. You are satanic in your teaching and your preaching, because that's saying that you don't love the skin that God put you in. And if you're not helping to raise up his sheep, to help raise up his lambs, to help his sheep, you are guilty of being a satanic practicer in the clothes of, in the practice of a pastor pretending to be Christian, but really it's satanic. Because you should be making sure your people love who they are and love how God made them, and that this month that white people have to tell you, Pastor, white people have to tell you, Pastor, to celebrate Black History Month. And if any pastor in Benton Harbor, Berrien County, Wayne County has not been teaching black history, then they are a traitor to their race, then they're satanic, they're followers of Lucifer and they're pretending that they're followers of Christ. Because we know that Christ's mother, Mary, had Tamar as a grandmother, who was a Canaanite, Hamite, black woman from Benton Harbor. We know that Rahab is also from Detroit, from Harlem, black woman from Benton Harbor, Detroit. We know that Bathsheba, wife of Uriah, black woman, Detroit, Chicago, South Side, Harlem, black woman, that she had Hamitic, Canaanite Canaanite lineage leading up to the birth of her son, who called Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus the Christ. Christ was Hamitic and Shemitic. And it's a shame, pastors, if there's a pastor in Benton Harbor who's not teaching black history but doing the same old, then you are not a real pastor for Christ. You are a money pastor. You are a satanic pastor, but you are a low-life pastor, because if God so loved the world, he gave his son, and he gave his son in North Africa, because Palestine is still North Africa, Canaan is still North Africa, Israel is still North Africa, but where are you? They're laughing at you because you can't even remember what month you're supposed to be recognizing your own heritage and history. So our black leaders are guilty. Our black leaders are part of notorious manumission, where they created in the southern states to make sure that you take blacks and you reward them to make sure they look out for the welfare and the well-being of whites, and you put them over other blacks to make those blacks happy and comfortable with slavery. The whole thing of making a pastor, with going back with Nat Turner, was for Nat Turner to make slavery comfortable. But as he studied the Bible, he found out that he was the people of the Bible. He was the one who was being oppressed, and that the slave master was Pharaoh, and that he rose up against him. But yet you have a white man named John Brown that should be respected, because he saw his white brothers and called them out. You see, you have Jane Elliott, a white woman right now, who calls out her white brothers and sisters. You have Tim Weiss, who calls out. And what we see from the work of Dr. Claude Anderson, that 1% of white America is not racist. The other 1% knows how to answer the questions, right? But when you look at their track record behavior, they also come off racist. So what you're really looking at is 99% of America whites are shown as racist, where you have 1% that are the diamonds, that are the real good ones. But when we go to the black community, we're just as guilty. We only have 1% of people like you. Then we have another 1% who's supposed to be conscious, but they still do the behaviors of whites, and they overprice and try to make learning correct black history or learning chemotology so high price, and that it's a click or it's a fashion statement. And then the other 98% are lost in trying to be white because they have low self-esteem, because they have post-traumatic slave disorder, they have post-traumatic slave syndrome. So we're both in that situation, but then we look at the body count of our young people that are dying, then there's no way you can deny that we're not at war. The body count and the jail count tells us that there is a war against the race, and that every single politician is a coward, every single one. There has not been a Clayton Powell, because if so, then they would have changed, Obama would have changed the 13th Amendment and ended slavery even in prison. Slavery still exists in the United States. Then Obama would have changed the fact and made African Americans of full human beings instead of still three-fifths human in the Constitution. We are even still now in 2022 not even humans. The Arabs can't even talk to us in terms of Assalamu Alaikum when you allow slavery right now in 2022 in your country. The Indians and the Apakids said they can't even tell me anything, or Krishna or Hindi, when you are still allowing slavery right now in 2022. So, and also in the Hispanic world, they allow slavery. So you can't tell me that you're not at war with me. You cannot tell me that you have a problem with me. You cannot tell me that you're going after our children and now you're going after our babies. And if you're an adult and you're allowing them and not calling out and say, look, the thing that you said, Reverend Pickman, that used to be so important was that word, R-E-C-A-L, L-L, so recall. And that's what black people around the United States have to start remembering, that you recall these house Negroes. Do you not remember it was a black mayor that dropped a bomb on the black projects that was called MOVE? That we are, just because they look like us don't mean they us, and they use people who look like us to kill us. They use people who look like us to enslave us. They use people to look like us to give lead to us, to poison us. So no, our leaders right now have to show it by their deeds and making sure that we're getting human rights. And that's why the black historical colleges, they've been playing a house Negro role. They're not even considered historical black colleges anymore. They just consider minority colleges. And because these Negroes have not learned that they have to unify, and they have to unify about being black. Everybody know you can't be white when your skin is melanated. So you can
Can
talk with speaking, basically speaking, I'm black like everybody else, and I'm not a color. I want to talk about people of color. No. You can pretend Negro information all you want, but it has to start talking about the black. And we cannot allow them our children attack our children. So there's no Lee's only thing I say that there may be an effort now. I do have to say that I saw that speaking. I found out that in Benton Harbor that that MBO, that marijuana place, has two places and they have hired blacks. I thought they didn't hire blacks, but Ron Singleton was able to give me some of the numbers of the names of the employees that are working. But and that's important because the thing about it is, guess what? The only thing they used to allow us to do to make money was during prohibition, was cigarettes was illegal, alcohol, which was legal, which is a drug, and prostitution. So here it is now in 2022 for black people to make it. We got to go back into the drug business. So we got to do marijuana. We don't have alcohol because that's over the county. And the only thing we still got is prostitution, and they done made that hard from what I got from the pastors is they done made it hard in Jefferson Hill ain't like it used to be. Now, that's a joke. I'm just cracking. Pastor didn't tell me that, but I'm just being silly right in the laptop. But the thing about it, the only real leadership coming out of Benton Harbor is if you look at the Benton Harbor Community Water Council, that you're making sure that you protect the people. And the thing about it, even the governor has to side with you that, hey, you keep the you keep supplying water even – when you get filters, we already knew from Flint that high levels of lead, the filter didn't work. Maybe low levels is okay, but that was just good for bathing and for washing, but not for drinking or putting in the formula. So even if they come back with their report this month, no. Until everybody is fixed, then recheck, then you can say they're all clear. Because what we know that would happen, we know the problem started in 2017 when they met with the city and told them of the issue, and the city didn't say anything. They came back in 2018 and had to actually fine the city. And when they fined the city for not notifying the people, they actually called a press conference together on October 24th of 2018, where they said, okay, there's a problem with the water, and gave instructions how to use lead water, lead cold and stuff like that, never telling the people not to drink. And so now when we test at the Benton Harbor Health Center, we test water, we test for lead every single day. And every week I'm finding adults who do not have any risk factors who have lead. So from that, and the lead is not supposed to last for 30 days in your bloodstream or less. And I have senior citizens, I have young people, I'm having all ages with lead. So something is going on and they don't have the risk factors. But that's why I'm working with Harvard University, with Purdue, with the University of Illinois in Chicago, you know, with Wayne State University, trying to gather the data so we can find out what's going on and come up with some answers and solutions. But the black leaders, came out really supported the lead efforts? Ask them. They're going to be quiet. In fact, that we are the monoclonal antibody centers that have been saving people's lives. Monoclonal antibodies is what you use to kill COVID. Monoclonal antibodies is what you use to kill COVID to keep people from going to the hospital, going to the emergency room, being put on a ventilator. Here we are in Benton Harbor, the Benton Harbor Health Center, been doing it since November, working with the federal government, working with the CDC, working with the FDA, working with the state. But when it comes to our local people, the prophet is without honor in his own home, no recognition from here, no help to make sure we're saving the black people here. So black leadership here is falling and slacking. So they have to step up. They have to get correct. I know Juanita Hendricks said she wants to step up. I think Ron Singleton now said the other day he wants to step up because they have not.
I don't believe neither one of them. They don't have the guts to stand up against these white folks. They scared to death of these white folks. And here what I want to ask before you before I have to let you go. When you talk about Dr. Anderson, why is it that nobody took none of his advice? Because it looked like to me he was right on point, and nobody took his advice. I thought that what he was saying was tremendous. But we had black folks. If he would have been white, black folks been jumping off the mountain, jumping out windows, trying to get that information and trying to do it. But by him being black, they didn't want to go. Claude Anderson is a great man. Dr. Claude Anderson is great. I love him. And what he's saying is right on point. So talk to me a little bit more about Dr. Claude Anderson. And then I got to let you go. You got about 5 minutes.
Okay, Dr. Claude Anderson, I got to say this. Now, Mary Ross Golden was also trying to do a Black History program for 2022, but the people at the school system, people that she worked with, betrayed her on that issue and did not help her. So when it came to Claude Anderson, he had to deal with the same situation. He did the study that showed that there was 103 politicians in 1960. All we had was 103. And now we have over almost 1,500 black politicians, and everything has gotten worse. The poverty index is worse. Educational index is worse. The amount of incarceration in prison is worse. And what he's done, he set up where he has a company to actually have a bullet train to go from down south all the way to Texas, and being blocked by Buttigieg and Biden because these are all black. And so the black people are not being given the opportunity under the Biden administration, and none of the black politicians are supporting them. Remember, it's reparations Ray and Claude Anderson that even brought the whole reparations to the forefront, and John Conyers had him speak before Congress. So right now, it's Dr. Claude Anderson, black labor, black wealth, black labor, white wealth, black labor, white wealth. You have to get that book. The other thing, he has Powernomics, to place you in power of the economics, so the politicians, mandatory, should read that. He has the Black History Reader, Dirty Little Secrets. So these are the things that you're right, that he gives us the blueprint to fight. Did you know that he's also the one in federal court for over 20 years now, paying with his own money, because the 1866 Indian Treaty said that the Indians, Native Americans, owed blacks because they were enslaving blacks. They were also bounty hunters, tracking blacks down, and then they refused to let the blacks go when the slavery was ended, that the government said that they have to pay reparations from 1866, and he's in court trying to have the United States enforce reparations from the Native Americans that is owed to black Americans. So you got that going on with Dr. Anderson, that he's in that court trying to fight for us. He's also trying to fight for the reparations. He was the one who put it on the federal on the federal docket. He's also trying to have us have a train line of our own that's already sponsored for. All you have to do is get the okay from Buttigieg from South Bend, but he's an all-pro-white. Buttigieg is then, and we got to call these whites out when they're all-pro-white. We got to call the blacks out when they're all-pro-white. Because when we look at our city, we have to see, do we have black contractors? Do we have black vendors? And the black vendors, now, this is a call out to Ben Harder. Black, now, if there is no single black vendor. So I'm going to talk to you. You know who I'm talking about? That if you have your construction company or your, that means that your construction company is being, it's in conjunction with all the other black contractors here. You may do heavy equipment. You may do concrete. You may do masonry. You may do asphalt. You present as a group. No more of you Negroes trying to just see what you can get, because they don't need you. And if you don't come together as a unit, then we don't need to support you and just use all white and get rid of your black butts. But it's time for us to come together and to unify economically, politically, and socially.
All right, Doc. All right. Hey, I really appreciate all that wisdom, young man, because that is huge. And we have to get the people moving. If we don't get them moving, they don't understand. White folks make all the decisions. You know, they decide whether it's going to be war or not. We don't make that decision. We're not even part of that planning. They don't care how many people die, because they know that their people are not going to die. They're going to fix it up so their people can live. But that is
what you just said. One major thing I got to say: no more. Everybody, I need you to make this out. No more intubation. No more intubation. No more intubation for anybody who has COVID, especially if you're black. You do high oxygen ventilation, no more intubation. The studies are now showing that it's the intubation, putting the people on the vent, that's been killing the people. We even lost Lovey Clay from that. So no more intubation. So they have to keep giving the oxygen. No more tricking you into putting the people in hospice. No more tricking and putting the people in palliative care. No. You just tell them that they're going to, you want them to be a full cold, and you want them to do any, by any means necessary, to keep them alive, especially with the oxygen. So we got to save lives.
Absolutely, Doc. That's beautiful, man. You know, I really respect the work you do. And I know by you being black, I know how difficult it is. I know how these white folks are. Anything that black people can do, they try to minimize it. But what you're doing is huge. And you know, and just like what we did with the Water Council, we're filing that petition. They, you know, maybe after I'm dead and gone, you'll realize how huge that was. But look, I got to let you go. Let's talk soon, and keep up the great work. All right, my good friend, Dr. Times, the one and only. Let me bring in my good friend from Detroit, the one and only, Marcina Cole. I think this is Marcina Jr. I don't think it's senior. May I speak with Marcina Jr.? Is this Marcina Jr. or senior?
You know, Reverend Payne, it's the mother, it's the senior. You messing with me today. You got the words,
I'm feeling good.
Payne.
Look, I'm feeling good after talking to Dr.
That.
Tan. I feel good.
I know.
You know, I feel good. Because he, you know what, he talks my language. You know,
that's a good thing.
And I love it, too.
Exactly.
Absolutely. But look, did you hear what he said about the COVID?
About COVID-19?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said that the people should not be put on that intubator. You should not be put on that. I kind of thought that, you know, that was the wrong thing to do. Even when they first started doing it, I said to myself, I said every time somebody be put on that, they end up, you know, they end up dying.
It's the end form, Reverend Penis. So a lot of, you know, we lost a lot of Afro-Americans, you know, across the country when COVID initially started. So we already know about the government delayed and all that, you know, about what was going on here in this country, you know, with the COVID-19 spreading from people going through traveling and all that, and where it started, Wuhan, China. So we know about that when minorities went to the hospital and for treatment because they were sick and didn't know what was going on. Initially, when it initially started with the 2019, as far as the COVID, they put a lot of the black patients in with the ventilator. Of course, my son died with that. That was before COVID when I predicted. Mm-hmm. About, you know, what was going on with the disparity of health care. So we know what the policies in this country, why we have the same illnesses with white folks and then the black folks die. Many thousands had died, even in the state of Michigan, black people have died from COVID. Some people have been wiped out their whole family. I'm going to a memorial service for a person that it was two members of the family that died. So, from COVID. There have been one of the persons been in the coma since last year. So this young person's not here today. So we still dealing with that. Some people who have COVID now, the variant Omicron, you know, they claim mild symptoms, but they can also die from that too, you know. But the thing is, a lot of people that I know who have had the COVID, they refuse to go to the hospital, and I don't blame them because my daughter wouldn't be here today if she had went to the hospital. So, yes, I understand. I've been known about what the ventilator can do. It can take you out because we know COVID-19 can take you out. So we dealing with that, and we dealing with the racial disparity, you know, we're talking about health and medical. We have the higher percentage of African Americans that have the less health care coverage, you know, the government health insurance coverage. We have many of African Americans who don't have health insurance at all, you know, and have chronic health conditions. So when you have chronic health conditions, pre-existing conditions, and then on top of that and get COVID, which is a global pandemic, it's going to be hard for them to fight it, particularly with their immune system is lower. So we deal with, and we deal with hypertension, you know, with obesity, you know, compared to white folks, you know, non-Hispanic folk. We have a lot of children who have asthma. So we have all these conditions, and nobody cares about us. We have to care about our own community, and let's not forget about mental health. Mental health in African American people, and I want to also talk about, you know, the high percentage with American Native people. So we know that they were here first in the United States. So they deal with a whole lot with white folks taking away their land and running through pipelines and all that. So they deal with a whole lot of mental health. So we have these high percentage of mental health comparatively with non-Hispanic white folks, you know, and they're not, and then we're not getting the treatment that we should, and then we have this stigmatism from people, the police department, people in general have stigmatism about mental health, and then you got the police. If you got some mental challenges, they will shoot you down, particularly a person of color. So we're dealing with all this when it comes down to race disparity. We're dealing with the wealth gap, the unemployment, the employment, the housing. There's no equal pay for us compared to the whites. They make more money. They live in fine homes. We contain in little small areas in the black community, redlining, mass incarceration, police brutality, you know, unequal medical care. So we deal with all that racial segregation. So, you know, so all that and above, even in the schools where now the white folks is ganging up on us, on our back, get off my back so I can breathe. So this is what they're doing now. They kind of block our votes. And now they after the schools, they're after the public schools where the majority of the black folks are pupils there, students there. They don't want their white, if there's some white students in the school where the black kids go, they don't want their kids to know about black history. They don't want them to know about the racism that goes on in this country, which is structural racism that's going on in this country, because the government is involved in it. Why do you think in all these years the police is getting away with murder? Because it's embedded in institutions, whether he's a black police officer or his whatever. We already know about the white ones, but they're getting away with murder, and it's still going on today, Reverend Caitlin. They're killing unarmed black men for claiming they had drugs in the system. Well, that's after they killed them, right? So they try to justify why they killed a black man. Then they killed a black man because he had cigarettes in his hand. Then they killed a black woman when she was asleep. You know, they killed a black child because he had candy in his hand. They killed a, you know, so the thing about it, they kill for no reason whatsoever, and they get off on probation or less sentencing compared to white people. You already touched on that, so I'm not going to
black life is only worth 16 months. You can kill somebody and you can look forward to getting 16 months.
Yeah. Well, first of all, they don't care about our lives. And a lot of us don't care about our lives, so we over there, we killing each other. But the white man got him he got an AK-47. And then when the black man got him registered to carry a gun, they bust up in his house and killed him and then said somebody had a registered gun. Really? But y'all ain't talking about y'all just let out this Rittenhouse where he wasn't, you know what I mean, let him off the hook for killing two people and injuring others, you know, and he went across the state and killed folks, and he's out free, and he's rich, you understand? Because the white folks poured all kind of money for him, and then they dare us to speak against the atrocities against us, you know? So we deal with this. We deal with this is why we have a higher suicide that's going on in our race. Of course, it's going on across the country, but it's just so much going on with the pandemic, you know, the COVID-19, which it'll never leave here. We need to continuously wear a mask and all that. But the point is, you know, it's an epidemic. We're dealing with an epidemic, a pandemic, all of these demics, you know what I mean, that's going on in our community because the fact is that black folks killing blacks, police killing blacks, and that's the epidemic that's going on. And it won't end because you got the police unions that support the police no matter what. You got the injustice going on in the criminal justice system, with the courts and the judges, the conservative judges, right wing judges that's out there, that's on the Supreme Court, all that. But and they basically do not care about us. They do not care about us, but they care about them. They can kill us and won't serve a day in prison. So we deal with all this, and that's why I just touch on a little bit more about the racism that's going on in this country, actually across the world, wherever them Europeans are. That's what it goes down like that, because they, you know, we still dealing with in the 21st century the Jim Crow, you know, it's the Jim Crow laws, you know, that happened back in the 1800s, 1900s. The thing is, it's still going on today. So we, Reverend P, we need to talk about that too, about the Jim Crow in the 21st century, whatever. We need to talk about that too. And Reverend P, I just want to say this: it was a case, okay, Renisha Bride. I just happened to discover this. I was doing court watching my observing court thing that I had going on. And I, she had, was murdered, by Ted Wafer. Okay. And I was there and I had over 100 pages of information about the case at that time. Well, guess what? The Michigan Supreme Court ruled in the defendant's favor, Ted Wafer, because they said something about some double jeopardy. They, claim it was a double jeopardy. In regards to his sentencing, he was sentenced for second degree murder and manslaughter. So anyway, he's going to be resentenced. Ain't that something? Just let me tell you something. Uh-huh. I saw the photos of this girl, Venetia Bride. She was disoriented prior to her going on Ted Wafer's front porch in Dearborn. She was disoriented. She had an accident at her friend's house with her vehicle, and her friend called the police, but she had left the scene area. The ambulance came. She was nowhere to be found. She ended up on, she walked, I don't know how long she walked, but she walked the Dearborn corner house and Ted Wafer at 4 a.m. and knocking on his door. Now, she don't know where she is, whatever. Anyway, he blew half her face. I saw the picture. You know, I talked to the mother. I was with the family, you know what I'm saying? But it was so disturbing. How dare them trying to get this man off? He served about maybe 8 years, and they trying to get him off the hook. We need to be out here and vigilant and protest, because I know what's going to come next. Every one of those judges that sit on the bench in the Michigan Supreme Court voted for this guy to be reset. So you're going to be hearing more of this case, and you know, with your other show, whatever, I, you know, I can elaborate more with that. Point is, our lives do not matter. We say black lives matter, but does it really matter? No, it doesn't. When you got black folks killing black, no, black folks, black lives don't matter to our own people. White folks don't care. White folks comparatively support the police officers, because they're not being racially profiled like we do as a race of people. We get pulled over for no reason at all, and next thing you know, boom, your family ain't come home, and we don't get no justice. But somebody shoot a police and kill him, they gonna get 40-50 years.
Yeah.
When the police officer kill somebody, guess what happens? You know what time it is. They gonna get a probation.
Absolutely.
They don't like it. So I don't know why black folk want to be like white folk. Can't know about you.
No. Uh-uh.
And I
they want to be just like
I'm not talking.
And then they'll lie and say, I don't want to be like, yes, you do. You want to be just like them. You want to be, and that way you figure treat other black people that way.
Of course. So we're still dealing with this, you know, we're dealing with all kinds of serious health diseases. And all this is affecting our well-being when your loved ones is not here anymore because of the way the system is. And if you're homeless,
absolutely,
and joblessness, all that, it will take you out. So we have a leading cause of death, that heart disease and cancer and, you know, hypertension and all that. So we're dealing with a lot, Reverend Pinckney, and so we definitely need to work together as one, and thanks for Dr. Ty doing his share in helping the black community.
Absolutely. He's a tremendous guy. But listen, thank you.
Yeah.
I got to move on.
Okay.
I got to take this to a different level. And thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you.
That was my good friend, Marcina. Keep up the good fight, young lady. Keep up the good fight. All right. Let me bring in my good friend, James, from Detroit. Talk to me, James. I know you've been waiting.
Hey, good evening, Reverend Pinckney.
You couldn't wait. Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you well. I can hear you.
There was going on with that Dr. Claude Anderson. He spoke the truth. And as long as we have the leaders that speaking for blacks now, nothing will ever change. See, we have to get rid of these Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. They was never voted in to speak for black folks. And if you look at their record, they only concentrating on white on black killings only. They never speak about the killing that the Arabs do to the blacks. And that's also strange to hear this every day on the radio. Al Sharpton gets 3 hours every day, Monday through Friday. Never once mentioned Ben Harper about the blacks who lay it in the water. Not one time. But he will concentrate on the Mexicans coming across the border. Now, that's awful strange to me. A black reverend will not support his own race of people in Ben Harbor. See, if we talk about Ben Harbor every day on the radio, the problem will get solved. This is why we have more problems than we have groceries in our buggies in the stores. We'll talk about it one time, then we brush it off. Next day, it's another problem. See, this is why our problem adds up. They never get solved. See, there's no way poor blacks, especially in Detroit. See, Detroit was targeted. You concentrate and destroy the biggest, blackest city, so the cities will fall. You going to tell me you got black radio hosts for Detroit from 6 in the morning to 11 at night. And the radio host never unites with the callers. You see what I'm saying? You got more citizens than you got radio hosts. But they don't concentrate on the problems in the black community because they don't live around poor black people. They don't live around poor blacks. When Donald Trump was running to become the president of the United States, they talked about Donald Trump every day from 6 in the morning to 11 at night to make him out to be the bad guy. Well, he is a bad guy, but it's to make you love the other bad guy, which is Joe Biden, because he's labeled as evil. They said vote for the two lesser evils. Black people, you voted for an evil president. This is why he don't do nothing for black folks. If they don't remember what he did to Anita Hill, destroyed that black woman's future. Then he said he would not send his kids to school with black kids. But he told the truth because as many times he came to Michigan, last year he went to Howell, Michigan. See, Howell did not send their kids to school with black kids either. And I really wonder, did Al Sharpton send his kids to school with black kids? Because all he talk about is the Mexicans. The Mexicans, bring them over. They got every right. And these callers on the radio, not one of them say, I want the right to live. They just want the right to vote, or they want land. Well, if the government give you land, they're going to kill you because you don't have the right to live.
There you go.
And if they give you the right to vote, they still can kill you because you never asked for the right to live. Like all the foreigners, every foreigner got the right to live. See, when they come to this country, Reverend Pinkney, they don't ask for nothing. It's automatically set for them because all these foreigners that came to this country, they brought them over here, and they put them in front of the black race. When the Haitians were down at the border, they beat them with whips and put them on a plane and took them back. See, we could never talk 5 days in a row about that. So
yeah,
I don't know,
you're
Reverend
right.
Pitney.
They showed what they did. You're right. They rode horses all over them and everything.
Yeah.
Wow. That's,
see what I'm saying?
That's a real good point.
But you know why, though, Reverend Pinkney? What used to be illegal to do to black folks, now is legal to do it because it's the black politicians, the black civil rights activists have turned against their own race. How can Ben Harper still have lead in the water and won't nobody talk about it but you? You're the only one talk about it. You're the only one because you're the only one cares. See? And when we have black people, as a radio host, they talk about their own race. I mean, I can't believe the guy, he got on there and he said, you black folks that live in Detroit are ignorant. So nobody spoke up when they got their turn to speak as a caller. So I spoke up to defend that, kick me off the show, which I don't mind getting kicked off because you're the wrong show for me to be on anyway. See, this is why white folks say what they say about blacks. Anytime a black man is down his own race, and then he talks about white folks on the radio, does this on the radio. He curses. He does everything. And I know they listen because after your show, when they show come on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 7 o'clock, he said a little smart comments about me. So I know he listened, which I don't care because he's a fan. See, he's a fake. I listened to his show this morning. He's St. Louis. He don't down his peoples over there. But he down the ones over here. See, Detroit is targeted. Detroit is targeted. This is how they lost the city of Detroit. I went to every charter commission meeting, Reverend Pinkney, in Detroit except for three. I used to call a radio host the next day. Nobody wants to hear about that. They wasn't with them. Finally, within the last 6 months, you had two of them start coming. But they was only coming to hear and take back what was going on to the mayor of Detroit. Because these two black radio hosts never one time got up to speak at those meetings, never once spoke. But they speak on the radio like they gangsters, But they radio pranksters is what they are. This is why blacks will never succeed. It's not set up. Anytime you got your own black people downing you, we can never win. Because, see, we got more radio hosts than we ever had in the history of a radio, more black radio hosts. So how do you lose your city, black people? Because your radio host was never on your side. Those are your new neighbors because it was set up to lose your neighbors next door. Every black city in this country got vacant houses, but these radio hosts do not live in those neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
So we can't
win.
There's too many of us against us, Reverend Pinkney. Too many.
Yeah.
They love the Super Bowl. They never once said boycott to save Ben Harbor, but they said they'll
boycott the Super Bowl. I boycotted it because I'm really disturbed by all the black millionaires that's not giving back to the community. I'm very disturbed about that. Yeah, I know.
It's not designed.
I'm glad you said that because they have these Jewish accountants who tell them not to give back. You're going to lose a lot of money. But why give the governor 30% of your salary when you don't have to? I don't get that.
They're controlled.
I don't get
it. They control, Reverend Pinkney. I know. Me either. But Reverend King, if you remember when the president was running last year, Ice Cube,
yeah,
the rapper.
They'll give gym shoes. They'll give you a gym shoes, some gym shoes and a T-shirt, and then say they're doing something in the community.
Right.
They'll give you a turkey. Some of them.
Right. But see, if you remember, during the president running last year, I mean 2020, Ice Cube, the rapper, came on and said he spoke to the Democrat Party and the Republican Party about doing something for black folks. Now, the Republican Party said, we will talk to you after the election. They ain't sat down and talked yet. And black radio hosts, they taking the Republican side. They undercover Republicans. That's what they are. See, if you pay attention to some of these shows, like early in the morning, some of these callers are texting the radio host. They're texting back and forth to tell each other what to say on the show. This is why we'll never win as a race of people.
Yep, there you go. And we're not. But listen, we have just ran out of time. Next week, same time, same station.
Same channel.
I'll talk to you soon, James. There you go, my brother.
Thank you. All right.
Everybody have a happy, happy, blessed Sunday. And we'll talk soon. Remember, black power, black power, black power.